This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 56 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and that's my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this episode, we're going to be talking about a little movie called we'll give him the full title, Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. This is a spinoff, of course, of the Fast and Furious movie starring two of the characters that appeared in other Fast and Furious movies. They would be Hobbs and Shaw, if you didn't already know. So before we get into the review, of course, if you are watching this podcast on YouTube, please make sure you go ahead and like, subscribe, comment down below. What do you think of Hobbs and Shaw? Give us your scores, give us your ratings. And if you're listening on the go, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however you get your podcast, make sure you're subscribed. Click the download button so it automatically gets the new episodes every week. And leave us a comment and a review if you could be so kind. All right. Now, Alex, Hobbs and Shaw, I know you watched this like not that long ago, not for this review, but you just recently watched.
Yeah. So what happened was I never seen this in the theater, like at all. I refuse anyway, to be honest with you. Because it was like two characters I didn't care for. Like The Rock is really good. And I love Jason Statham, but I was just like, I don't like Fast and the Furious like that to see spin-off characters. But my wife is a huge fan of the franchise, so she wanted to see it. So she was like, you will like it, you will like it. So I brought it on 4K, and I watched it, and I'm going to tell you my review.
And we're gonna tell you if he liked it or not. All right, so very good. Yeah, I saw this at the theater, bought it on 4K, and then I watched it for this review. So this is only my second time watching it, but that's just because I usually like see movies and wait a little while before I watch them again. Either way, before we get into the actual review and give you our criteria, we're going to go ahead really quick and give you the box office score or box office total and the Rotten Tomato critical scores here. So, of course, with box office, I always guess. Now, I know the Fast and Furious is a big franchise. These movies make absolutely boatloads of cash.
Right.
If I remember correctly, Hobbs and Shaw came in a little under the other movies, but I do think it still did well. So I'm going to say that Hobbs and Shaw made $232 million. That's my guess. $232 million.
All right. You think you're right?
I'm never right. So I don't think I'm right, but I think hopefully I'm close at least.
All right. So let's see if you're right. This is the Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw from 2019. Was Nate right? Well, he was way wrong.
Oh.
Domestic, it was $173,956,935. International, $585,100,000 for a worldwide total of $759,056,935 on a budget of $200 million.
Well, I guess that's why overseas gets movies before us sometimes. You know, when it makes $500 million over there and only $100 and something million here, makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's not surprising. This is the Fast and Furious is an international franchise. It does well overseas, you know, whatever. So, all right, now, critical score. So, Rotten Tomatoes, they have a critic score and an audience score. So, Alex, what do you think this got as far as the critics and then the audience?
All right, so the critics, I don't think the critics like this movie. So, I'm going to give it a 55.
Okay, 55.
I'm going to give it the green stickers, right? I can see the audience liking this, you know, this is right up the alley. So I'm going to give it like a 69.
69. Okay. All right. You're way off. Now you're way off. I was way off and now you're way off. So I guess when we're both close or we're both far apart. So critics score, this was a certified fresh film, 67%. Oh. So 12% off. But where you're way off is the audience score. Not only did audiences like this movie, apparently they love this movie because it has an 88% audience rating. A difference of 21% between the critics and the audience. So yeah, they loved it, but who cares? Because when you come to listen to the Action Movie Guys, you are listening to myself and Alex tell you if we liked this movie. So we're going to go ahead and give you our criteria. Of course, we score lead character, main villain, action scenes, storyline, and overall movie on a scale of 5. Then we give you our total points and let you know if we enjoyed the movie or not. So Alex, you get to go first. Lead characters, obviously similar to Lethal Weapon. Yep. It will be both Hobbs and Shaw. So take it away.
Yeah. So this is like the second movie, right? That we're going to put two people as the lead character. All right. Hobbs and Shaw, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. and Jason Statham. I gave them a 4. I thought they were great. I'm not going to say they were perfect, but they had great chemistry together. And you saw that on screen. Their characters was way too goofy for an action movie. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I'm going to sound like Nate, because Nate was very picky with the lethal weapons, and they were goofy all over the place. This was goofy, dude. Like, they were goofy. Like, I was just like, oh, my God, they're cracking jokes with each other. A lot of the scenes just felt like they were improv. There's no way half of these scenes were, like, in script. Like, you could tell they improv this movie. But to be honest with you, I was not into the characters as much. I gave them a 4 because the chemistry, they were good. They're fighting. You could tell the difference fighting styles. He's a brute, a very brawler. And then the other one's very finesse with his fighting, kung fu here and there. And I like that. Yep. They had come from two different worlds. One's Samoan. The other one's British, English.
Yep.
So I like it. Thief, cop, joint forces. You know what it is? I'm not into the whole comedy, like action. Like, I like action movies with a little bit of comedy, but not too far-fetched comedy that is just joking all over the place. Because then it takes away from the action movie. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? For me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for other people. I'm just saying for me, when the comedy overweighs the action, I'm already like, this is not going to go well for my book. But that's just me. I gave it a 4, though, for lead character.
So I actually have the same exact score as you. I have a 4 as well.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you, though, my reasoning's a little different. So that's cool. We came to the same score, little different reasoning. For me, I actually am a big fan of the Fast and Furious franchise. The reason I take off a little bit is because both of these characters in the Fast and Furious movies are different than they are in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, Hobbs, even though there's some humor in those movies, you know, with some of his dialogue, he's like a very serious character. You know, he's a no-nonsense, go-get-em type, you know, military special forces guy, right? And Shaw, Deckard Shaw, Jason Statham, he's a villain in the Fast and Furious, you know, movies. So he's a bad dude. He killed Han, with air quotes, killed Han. You know, like, he's not messing around. And you're right. This movie, they have great chemistry together. There's no doubt about it. They have great chemistry together. A part of me almost wishes the same exact cast and same exact movie happened and it was called something different. You know what I mean? Like, they were different characters. They weren't Hobbs and Shaw. They were just like, you know, Jim and Bob, whatever. But where I differentiate from you is I am a comedy guy. I love laughing. I love making people laugh, and I love comedy, and it hits. A lot of the dialogue between the banter between the two makes me laugh. I love the airplane scene in particular, where they're like talking trash to each other and they're like kind of whispering it the whole time. I think it's hilarious, but I agree with you. I gave it a 4 overall. All right, now, main villain. So Idris Elba is my guy. Yeah. I am an unabashed Idris Elba fan. He's great. He not only is he a great actor, okay, because he is a legitimately great actor. He's also possibly the coolest man on earth. Okay, if you read about Idris Elba, this guy does everything. He's a rapper, a reggae singer, a DJ, a race car driver. He did like bare knuckle boxing. He's an actor. He's everything. I absolutely love him as a person. And to get him to play a villain, love it. I loved him in this movie. I think the villain, this movie's very over the top. It must be said. I know we haven't gotten to the story and overall yet, but this movie's super over the top. Okay. Even more so than maybe the Fast and Furious movies. Like, it is like, it's an action comedy, and it's got a lot of like futuristic technology and stuff. You know what it reminded me of? Remember the G.I. Joe movie? Any of the G.I. Joe movies, really. How they're kind of futuristic, but like, not realistic at all. It reminds me of some of that. Some of the
like retaliation
technology
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like some of the technology and stuff like that. I love Idris Elba in this movie. I love the villain. He has a line where he's like, I'm the Black Superman. And that's pretty much, but he's bad, right? Like, he's super powered. I love his fighting thing with the eye where he could tell where they're going to go, like the Sherlock Holmes type thing. I give him a 5. I think he's a great villain. He fights two guys and is able to stand with two guys fighting at the same time. If that's not a formidable villain, I don't know what it is. So yeah, I loved him in this.
So this is the second movie I think I seen him as a villain. The first time I seen him was in Star Trek Beyond. He was the villain, and he was amazing. I mean, I'm a big Star Trek fan, so I love that movie.
Agree.
I hope we cover it in one of the podcasts.
That'll be awesome. We got to do it.
But him in this movie, he's a well-established actor. And the thing is, like, he reminds me of like Mel Gibson. Like, how Mel Gibson went from hero to villain, and he could just put either shoe, and you're like, holy crap. Like, Mel Gibson is amazing as a villain. Like, even in Expendables 3, he was the best actor in the entire cast, to be really honest with you, in that whole movie. And that's how I felt like with Ezra Alba in this movie. He was great with his line delivery. He was great with the fighting. I wasn't too crazy with the whole, like, his nanobots or whatever. The
technology
stuff. Yeah, the technology thing. It was okay, but it's just like you said. It's just like every other spy movie, right? They're like, they're always a villain that has some type of gadgets on them. But I agree with you. I give him a 5 because I'm like, he's a great actor. He was very believable. And there was, like, no dull moments with him. Like, even on screen. Like, you're going, you know what? It's boring. Like, no. Like, when he's on screen, he commanded it. Like, just like, that's how you want your villains. You want your villains to command it more than the heroes towards the end, right? When the heroes come to save the day, that's when they come to light. And I think he delivered on all fronts, and I gave him a 5.
Very good. All right, action scenes.
Oh, okay, the action scenes. There was a lot of action on this. So they did not hold back on the action. My thing is, it was good action. Some was great, but not too great. Like through the whole, movie, right? Like you had the and the thing is like with Fast and the Furious, I'm very and my wife hates it. I hate their action in the movies, right? Because it's so far fetched with the driving, right? They're doing all this stupid stuff, and you go, yeah, right. They can't do this with a car in real life, and that's how I felt like with this movie. Like, you know, Mission Impossible takes the realism into the movies, right? With their stunts, you're going, wow, Tom Cruise really did this, right? Yep. There were scenes in this movie that I was just like it was not believable with me, right? And then the whole perfect scene was when Jason Statham goes into the elevator and The Rock throws out the window and he's grabbing. I could not take that. I couldn't take it. I could not take it. I was like, come on. This big dude would be flying through gravity. Like, that's how fast he would be going to hit the floor. I couldn't. I mean, and again, I understand people going to be like, oh, yeah, but you're being too nitpicky. I'm being really nitpicking here. But the scenes that I liked a lot was with Ezra Albon behind the motorcycle. That motorcycle was sick. I don't know why.
Absolutely.
I didn't care nothing.
When he slides under the trucks.
And he could analyze the distance and all this. Mm-hmm. And then wherever he's standing, the motorcycle comes to him. I was like, you know what? That's the best part of the movie. I couldn't care for Hobbs and Shaw's action because their action scenes wasn't like memorable for me as much. Because it was just like, it was like over the top stuff. Like he's taking a face and ramming it to access the door. And I was like, it's funny once you're stretching the scene out. I gave it a 4.5 in terms of action. But Ezra Alba, I could have pushed it to 5, but I think it's a 4.5.
Yeah. So this is, of course, directed by David Leitch, one half of the director duo from the original John Wick.
Well, and then I guess there was no John Wickness in this movie because that memo went out the window.
So here's my thing with David Leitch. I think between John Wick and Atomic Blonde, I think contain his best action. He did Deadpool 2, where everything's very rubbery, in my opinion. Like, it's not, like, it's a goofy movie, but it's not very great action. For me, this is better than that, but not as good as the other two. However, there isn't, like you said, there's an abundance. Like, there's a lot of action in this movie, maybe to the detriment of some other stuff, but a lot of action scenes, very over the top. I agree. I like the scene with that you didn't like, but I like it for the comedic element, not for the action element per se. So it really is going to depend on what you enjoy or what you're going to get out of it. It's one of those movies that has something for everyone, in my opinion. But, you know, whatever. I gave it a 5. I thought it was, I had a good time. But it's the kind of action that's like, it's well shot. It is well shot. Mm-hmm. Especially the scene. Remember the scene where the sister comes and they're breaking out of that facility? And it turns into like, she's running on the thing and then it's a car chase and like it's well filmed. David Leitch knows how to shoot an action scene and they use CGI, but they also use a lot of stunt work and practical, which I like personally. So I gave it a 5, but I also found it's more so like the entertaining type action as opposed to the gritty, realistic. It's not suspenseful at all. You know what I mean? Cause it's so over the top, but they give you a little bit of everything. There's car chase, there's hand to hand, there's gunplay, there's, so, you know, we were both pretty close. But yeah, there's a lot of action, at least.
I do agree with you on everything you said. But one thing it's making me wonder, right? Because David Leitch is one half of the John Wick director group, right? Because you got Chad Kurinsky. I always just say
Chad Stahelski.
Right, yeah. Chad. I'll just call him Chad, right?
Chad, yeah.
Is it me or does he need Chad to make a good action movie? Because if you look at Atomic Blonde, which we covered here on the Action Movie Guys, I'll just put the link somewhere here. It fell flat, right? Like, it felt a little John Wick, but there was something missing with the story that I think even with Chad, it would have ironed out, right? Like, because I think Chad was more of the hand-to-hand fighting more than than David.
So
if you think
David Leitch and Stahelski both come from stunts and second unit directing and stuff like that. So I think that the best movie that either one has done was John Wick 1, personally. Atomic Blonde, I agree. We didn't love the movie itself, but the action scenes were legitimately great. Wow. I think what happens is even though Deadpool's rated R, it's basically a PG-13 movie with a bunch of like cursing. You know what I mean? And this one's PG-13 as well. When he gets away from the gritty, realistic action and gets more into the fantastical kind of over the top, I think that's the disconnect, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
I understand
like,
what you
it's,
mean.
Yeah. It's not brutal. It's not like a ballet like Atomic Blonde and John Wick were. It's just a lot of noise and fury and stuff going all over the place. But I think I would love to see him come back and do like John Wick 4 with Chad Stahelski. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. And we'll see when Stahelski does something else besides John Wick. He's supposed to do the Highlander reboot. So let's see who's the real deal out of the two of them. You know what I mean? Who knows?
You might be right. But yeah, you might be right on that. Yeah.
So, all right, storyline. Okay, for me, this is the weakest part of the movie. I gave it a 3. I don't think it's terrible, but I also think it's very generic. This is a generic storyline. Super secret, you know, bioweapon that the bad guys are trying to get and the good guys are also trying to get. And that's pretty much it. And the only thing is that the, you know, the sister of Shaw is involved and then, you know, that leads to some stuff. Yeah, it's all right. You know, like it's not terrible. But it's generic. You've seen that. If you've seen a spy movie in the last 100 years, you've seen a storyline similar to this. You know what I mean? So it's not very original, but I think they knew that and they didn't care. You know what I mean? Like as far as writing goes, it was like, hey, we're going to have a lot of action and witty banter. Like you said, I feel like a lot of improv, things like that. And the story is just, it'll take a back seat. So while it's not absolute crap, like it's not so stupid, it's also very regular. So I gave it a 3.
Yeah, in terms of storyline, man, you're right. It's so generic that it reminded me of Mission Impossible 3. I mean, 2, right? Because she had to push herself with the chlamydia. I hope I said it right?
Chlamydia.
Yeah, chlamydia. It was something with a C. I don't know why. Yeah. Chimera. Thank you so much to the
chlamydia,
patrons.
That's an STD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She shot herself with that, right? So then it reminded, right? 24 hours to get
this
you.
Girl
and then he threw the bomb to the wall. Very generic.
Well, here they had 72 hours.
Yeah, they had 72 hours. They gave him an extra day.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, you're right. It's a very generic story. And I didn't think they cared. I just think they wanted to milk the cow. That's all it was.
I agree.
Yep. I gave it a 3. It was not a good storyline. Yeah. The same as every other action movie trope. That's only one.
I like what you said there. This is a, you know, milk the cow. This is definitely what you would call a cash grab film.
Yes.
Now, did they make it entertaining? Well, we're almost done, but pretty much. Okay, thank you. It is like a, you know, it's pretty entertaining, but you're right. It is that. All right. So overall, what do you give it overall?
I gave it a 3.
Oh, okay.
It has great. Look, I'm going to be really flat out honest right now.
Yeah.
If you want action, it gives you action. You want comedy, it gives you comedy. You want stupid plot? You got a stupid plot. You got a hot sister? You got a hot sister. Other than that, you enjoy the Fast and the Furious franchise? You got this.
Yeah.
You eliminate Dom and the other people? That you got Hobbs and Shaw. That's pretty much it. Like, for me, there was no way I was going to give this pass a 3. There was no way. Because when I was watching it, I was like, this is a one and done for me. I was never going to watch this again. This is my second time watching it. For the review, the first time I watched it with my wife, and I never even thought about it until we brought it up, because the fans voted on it. I was never going to see this movie again. And I don't even think I am going to watch it again, unless the wife wants to see it. But it's a 3. It's a hard 3 for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, guess what? I will go above the 3. There you go. I gave it a 4. When I saw this at the theater, I had a good time. So, you know, everyone watches movies for different reasons. Sometimes I want something intellectual. I want something that's going to, you know, kind of stimulate the brain. And sometimes I want to have a good time. This movie is that second one. This is a good time movie. It's funny. It's got tons of action. It's cool to look at. You got beautiful people. For the ladies, we got Jason Statham. We got The Rock, right? For the men, we got Aza Gonzalez, my future wife, is in this film. Vanessa Kirby, Helen Mirren for the older crowd. Hello, Helen Mirren. Hello. There's a little bit of everything in here. Beautiful people. Yeah, beautiful people. Beautiful cars. You know, it's stunts. It's this is a kind of a throwback. It reminds me of like a 90s action movie, in my opinion. Yeah, like, it's very over the top. It just has newer effects, if you know what I mean. Like, they just have better effects now. But yeah, it's that style of movie. I love The Rock. I love Jason Statham. I like the cameos. Ryan Reynolds and Kevin Hart both made me laugh when they popped up in their scenes. They're cute. They're throwaway. They're filler, but they also made me laugh. So I enjoyed it. I gave it a 4 total. So altogether, for me, that comes out to a 21 out of a 25. I like the movie. I don't, you know, but that's just me. What did you give it?
Total? I gave it a 19 and a half.
Close. No, so we're in the ballpark. Yeah, yep. This is a good time movie. Watch it for the fun. If you don't think it's fun, then turn it off. I don't know what to tell you, but you know what you're getting. I think you hit it on the head. If you're a Fast and Furious fan, like that franchise, it fits within the universe that they have created from when they started off stealing DVD players to now. So there you go. That is Hobbs and Shaw. Now, of course, this ends our Jason Statham month as voted on by you guys, the fans. Next month, we will be starting a new action hero, one named Sylvester Stallone. We will be watching Sylvester Stallone movies, and none of them are franchise. So no Rocky, nope. No Rambo. Nope. It is, we got Tango and Cash in there, Judge Dredd, Demolition Man, Assassins, right? The Specialist, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
These were all voted on by you guys as well. So we got everything that's not a franchise movie from Stallone. Looking forward to it. And then, of course, next week we wrap up Matrix Revolutions.
Yeah, and then we do the live rankings for everybody on the live show on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern on Levels and Geeks Live. But again, if you want to follow us on a social media platform, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out his podcast with him and his friends over at Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys, you can check out our Instagram, Action Movie Guys Podcast. And of course, check out join our Facebook community page, which is facebook.com/group/Action Movie Guys. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.